joined today by David Skidmore, who is one of the members and the executive director also of the Grammy-winning Third Coast Percussion Ensemble. They have a new recording out, which is really interesting. I've been enjoying listening to it, and David is here to talk with us about it, joining us from Chicago. David, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit first about you as a percussionist, because, you know, that's a whole wide world of instruments. Usually when I'm talking with, you know, a violinist or a singer, you know what it is that they do, what they specialize in, but you have to play at all kinds of things, don't you, in your role?
We do. We love that about what we do, but, you know, every object in the entire world could be a percussion instrument. As long as it makes a sound that you want to hear. And that for us is a lot of fun. Yeah.
Do you specialize in any particular instrument, or did you start on a particular instrument?
My very first instrument was piano, which of course is technically a percussion instrument. But all of us in the quartet, I would say don't pick just one instrument to specialize in. We really genuinely all do like the fact that that there's such a variety in what we do. Playing drum set or playing marimba are sort of fundamental aspects of what we do, and they feature prominently in a lot of our work. But, you know, we also play tuned planks of wood or metal pipes that we cut to length to tune, or children's instruments, or, you know, an endless variety of different instruments.
Do you have to sort of sit down and figure out how you're going to divvy it up, or you know, do you see, oh, I want to play that piece of wood, or you have to let somebody else do it? I mean, what are those conversations like?
It happens so fluidly, and it happens just all the time for instance, if we get a new piece of music that was composed for us, or just a new piece of music that we're interested in playing, and it has four parts, it, you know, as a percussion quartet, the parts are kind of equal. So we often just divvy up the parts alphabetically by our last name. So my last name being Skidmore, I'm pretty much always player four.
Yeah, that's one way to do it, I guess. Have you ever had to learn something new? I mean, you talk about commissioning new works. Does a composer ever come to you and say, well, I want you to play this as a percussion instrument, something you've never picked up before?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's... you know, we sort of if it's a composer that we're commissioning, a part of the commissioning process for us is that it needs to be very, very collaborative. So, for instance, on our new album Fields, Dev Hines, the composer, wrote the music using a compositional software, and so he sent us recordings, sort of a mock-up recording of a rough draft of the piece and sheet music, but he left choices of instrumentation and even form up to a certain extent up to us to arrange the work. With other composers that we've worked with, they've come to us with an idea that was very specific. And we work with that composer to realize that idea. And sometimes that means learning a new instrument or learning to play an instrument in a new way. But for us, that's fun and well worth the time and effort.
Well, it's an interesting collaborative process that I don't hear often from, you know, groups or soloists who commission new works. Generally, they get the music and they perform it, and the composer, you know, has input as to how they approach the piece. But you're really working kind of one-on-one, a real solid collaboration with folks. And I imagine, in a way, that sort of speaks to your charter as a group that's trying to sort of expand the genres of classical contemporary music.
For sure. I mean, the idea that there is one person who sits alone in a room and writes music, and that they, you know, send that music to a musician or group of musicians in another room, and those musicians only communication with the person who created the music is reading this sort of system of signs and this notational system that's an imperfect means of communication. It just has never made any sense to us at all. I mean, it's the only option we have if we're playing the music of a composer who's no longer living, aside from, of course, listening to older recordings. But, you know, if the composer's alive, why not talk to them, you know? Or why not find a way to for them to create music with you together that is unconventional? And so that's what we did in many ways with Dev, and we're so happy with it because it's music that couldn't have been created any other way. And that for us is really important and special about the project.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about Devante Hines, because he's somebody that you think of more in the R&B mold, you know, or electronica.
Sure.
He's performed under the name Blood Orange. There's a lot of music out there from him, and I can hear a little bit of it in this piece, but this also has gravitated a little bit more towards the classical realm, would you say?
Absolutely, yeah. And Dev, the first music he learned to play was classical music. He played cello in the orchestra when he was coming up as a young kid, and he used to sit in on his sister's piano lessons, and it was only a little bit later on when he was in his teenage years that he started to write his own music and, you know, sort of eventually became this persona, Blood Orange, that is known so well in the pop and R&B world. So in a way, this album Fields is something that's brand new for Dev. And in another way, it's really just a sort of a return to his roots as a musician.
Yeah. There are three pieces on here. The first one is the longest, called For All Its Fury, and that's where the title track, I guess, comes from, Fields. Can you tell us a little bit about his vision for that particular piece, For All Its Fury?
Sure. For All Its Fury was written, like most of the music on this album, to be the setting for a new dance project that we created collaboratively with Hubbard Street Dance Chicago. And For All Its Fury was music that a choreographer named Emma Portner created movement for. And Dev and Emma are friends. They've worked together in the past. And For All Its Fury, like most of the album for Dev, was music that he wanted to create that had this flexibility so that all of these different creative voices could put their own sort of mark on it. And in other words, it wasn't so precious and so complete when he sent it to us that it didn't have room to be what it needed to be for this project. So For All Its Fury, as Dev sent it to us, was, as it is on the album, this alternation between sort of more driving, rhythmic, almost repetitive, sometimes evocative of minimalist music, and these drones, these sort of synth drones that suspend time and are sometimes sort of dark and eerie and sometimes very peaceful and almost meditative.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a journey and something that catches your imagination very quickly. I thought it was interesting, looking at your program notes, that you talk about For All Its Fury in relation to Dev's love of the music of Claude Debussy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in there as well?
I think so. I mean, Dev talks about these composers that he's really taken with, Erik Satie, Claude Debussy, even Giacomo Puccini he brings up. You know, I think that influence is an interesting thing to sort of track, and I think sometimes it's more legible on the surface, and sometimes it's deeper in the sort of DNA of the music. So I don't know of like particular moments on the album where Dev was thinking about Claude Debussy or about Philip Glass or about Puccini. But I do know that this is music that he listens to and that is sort of a part of his fabric as an artist. And so we love that because, you know, who would have thought 50 years ago that a prominent R&B artist would, you know, do a album that's a mashup of Debussy, Puccini, and Philip Glass for a percussion ensemble.
That's great. Well, you mentioned Philip Glass, and you can really hear that minimalist take in the track Perfectly Voiceless, I guess is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's somebody that you have worked with and that he has worked with as well, right, Philip Glass?
Yeah, that was a great sort of common ground between us and Dev as we got to know each other because when we were reaching out to Dev was right around the time when Philip was writing a new piece for Third Coast Percussion. And it was also right around the time when Dev was playing some of Philip's piano etudes in concert. And Dev and Philip had met at that point. They actually did a really amazing interview that NPR put out in Dev's loft studio in Manhattan. And knowing that there was this shared affinity for not only classical music, but the specific composer who was so important to us, just really made it seem like such an obvious fit to work with Dev.
Tell me quickly about how you came together as an ensemble. I assume the term Third Coast, you're referring to like the Great Lakes area, right? Based in Chicago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We all studied at Northwestern University, where there's a great music program and at the time a really excellent percussion teacher named Michael Burritt, who now teaches at the Eastman School of Music. And Mike always emphasized percussion, ensemble music, chamber music for percussion instruments as an important part of the curriculum for his students. And we fell in love with it and basically said to ourselves, like, this music should exist not only in the academic world, but outside for the broader public as well. So we sort of set ourselves the task of figuring out how to make this a professional full-time endeavor. And
you've done pretty well, I should say.
Well, thank you.
Since then. I want to mention the last track on this CD, There Was Nothing, because I hear a little bit, occasionally, a little bit of a gamelan-like vibe going on there. And the program notes say that it's reminiscent of Lou Harrison. That's a composer that you guys actually played here in Toledo a few years back when you came to the Art Museum. Do you remember that?
Absolutely, yeah. We played Harrison's violin concerto and his organ concerto while we were there. And I think also one other piece. We've played a bunch of Lou Harrison music. And, we were so excited to hear this moment in There Was Nothing when Dev sent it to us because to us it was just immediately reminiscent of Lou Harrison. Were there these very, very clear and almost catchy melodies that are very simple, but played on these objects, which are so unexpected. And it is reminiscent of gamelan, which was something that was a big influence for Lou, who, you know, in the end built his own version of a gamelan. And, you know, gamelan as a tradition comes up in percussion ensemble music all the time because it is this very you know, intricate and complex musical form played on these beautiful graduated percussion instruments. And so, and you know, that brings in Debussy as well, who was also very influenced by gamelan when he saw it at the World Expo in Paris. So it's, yeah, that's a neat kind of through line in the album, I think.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me that for your ensemble, with the things that you do, the people you collaborate with, I mean, the sky's the limit, really, because you can expand to fit many different genres. Where do you want to take the ensemble down the road? Where do you want to go? How do you want to push the boundaries of classical music?
Well, really, Fields is indicative of the type of work that we want to continue to do. You know, find a person who makes music at an extremely high level with in a really deep and thoughtful way, like Devante, but who hasn't yet been asked to create a through-composed classical work and ask the question, you know, do you want to take this on? We're doing that now with an amazing electronic artist out of Gary, Indiana, named Jerilyn Patton, who writes sort of EDM, like electronic dance music, in the footwork tradition. We've done it with another artist named Banna Hafar, who works with modular synthesizers. We love finding these people who you know, think about music in a similar way that we do, but haven't yet made music in a similar way to how we do, and seeing if they want to kind of go on a journey with us. While we're also, of course, continuing to work with people like Philip Glass, Augusta Reed Thomas, Steve Reich, you know, people who are writing music in the more traditional classical music way. As you say, as a percussion ensemble, we have the distinct advantage of being able to exist in so many different worlds, and we're much less interested in the boundaries between genres than we are in the ways that different genres and different musicians with different backgrounds can talk to one another and make music together.
I've been talking with David Skidmore from the Grammy-winning Third Coast Percussion Ensemble. Their new album is called Fields, music by Devante Hines in collaboration with the group. That's on the CD record album. And David, where's a good place to catch up with the group online?
You can find us on our website, www.thirdcoastpercussion.com. That's spelled out THIRD, Third Coast Percussion.
Great. David, thanks so much for joining us here on FM 91.
Thanks so much for having me.